Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Hoping you're having a very pleasant Friday. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. For the past several days, we've been talking about a video that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has posted on its official website, which talks about, very briefly, it's only 4 minutes and 15 seconds long, the special garments that Mormons wear. And we found this to be quite fascinating because up until recently, Mormons would not talk about the garments. It was not something that we often recommended you talking to a Mormon person about because of the way it would just tend to stop any type of conversation whatsoever. But now the Mormon Church has changed on that. I guess they're trying to be much more transparent. As one faithful Latter-day Saint said, he was glad that the church was leading in this. And I find that kind of strange to use that kind of language because really it was Christians such as ourselves that have been talking about the garments and not the Mormon church. And for years we've had articles on the garments and their purpose on MRM.org. Well, now the Mormon church has a video out and they're wanting people to take a look at it. And so that's why we are talking about it. There was an article that was in the Ensign magazine, August 1997, by Elder Carlos E. Assay. Now, he's passed away now, but he wrote this article called The Temple Garment, An Outward Expression of an Inward Commitment. And if you've been listening to the past shows, you know that we've been discussing one aspect of the video that we feel it overlooked, and that was this. Mormons believe that these garments offer some type of protection for them, whether spiritual or physical protection. The video doesn't bring that out, yet it tries to downplay the accusation that many have made about the garment in that it's somehow magical. It just simply denies that, but it doesn't tell you where that accusation came from or why they are denying it. In this article by Carlos Assay, he talks about the armor of God, and yesterday we talked about how we feel that this general authority misuses the verses from Paul in Ephesians chapter 6. He goes from spiritual use that Paul does about breastplate of righteousness, loins girded about with truth, and then he tries to all of a sudden switch gears and say that the garment, a physical garment, is relative to what Paul is saying in Ephesians 6. Which we know clearly that Paul is not talking about literal pieces of clothing in Ephesians 6. But then it goes on in this article that he writes. He says, we must put on the armor of God, spoken of by the Apostle Paul, and reiterated in a modern revelation. We must also put on the armor of righteousness, symbolized by the temple garment. Otherwise, we may lose the war and perish. Then he goes on to give a historical background for the temple garment. And this is what he says.
It should be understood that the things of the Lord from 2 Nephi 4:16 have included sacred clothing from the very beginning of this world. The scriptures contain many references to the wearing of special garments by the ancients. Prior to their expulsion from the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were clad in sacred clothing. We read, quote, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothe them, end quote. And that's from Genesis 3:21.
You know, I read Genesis 3:21 over and over, Eric, and there's just something lacking from that passage. I don't see anywhere where we are given the impression that the coats of skins provided by God for Adam and Eve to replace the fig leaves that they used.
You'd have to have a presupposition of a temple garment to be able to come up with that kind of interpretation, because I've never even thought of that, and I've read Genesis 3 dozens and dozens of times.
Where do you get the idea that they were sacred? I don't see anywhere in the reading of Genesis 3 where these coats of skin were actually sacred, certainly not in the same sense that Mormons view the garments that they wear.
But think about it. The reason that they had to take on clothes is they had sinned. They realized that what they had done was wrong and realized now they were naked, so that's why they had to put those on. It just seems like if there was going to be a true protection, why didn't God give them some kind of a garment before they sinned to protect them from doing that?
You would think so. If God had any type of foreknowledge of what was going to take place in that area, he should have helped them in that area. I don't know. But here's what I think Mr. Assay misses. He refers to the coats of skin as being sacred. Now, first question, what makes the garment sacred is not the cloth. It's not the material. What makes the garment sacred are the markings that are in the cloth. Are we to assume that Adam and Eve had markings on these coats of skin that they were wearing?
Some people listening to this show may not know what those markings are. Can you explain that?
Embedded in the temple garment are what look like buttonholes, sewed up buttonholes. And over the breast area, you have one that looks like a V. You have another one that looks like a backward L. And then over the knee, it looks like a straight line. Now, if you have ever been a part of the Freemasons, you might recognize these markings, the compass, the square, and the level. And it would make sense that Joseph Smith might borrow that because Joseph Smith was a Mason. He became a Mason in April of 1842. And not long after that, he incorporates the endowment ceremony, which is very similar to the Masonic ceremony. Imagine that. So it's not all that original. But that's what makes the garment special. It's the markings. It's not the material. Are we to assume that the coats of skin in Genesis 3:21 given to Adam and Eve had these same markings? If not, then how do you draw the conclusion that the coats of skin were actually sacred in the same vein as the garments that Mormons are wearing today?
I mean, they would have had to have made their own slits on the coats of skins, but there's no indication in the scripture that shows that they would have done that.
No, there isn't.
Later, four paragraphs down, he quotes and he says, "The garment is inadequate without the thing that it signifies. It won't protect you unless you're true and faithful to your covenant, and only to the degree to which you don't dishonor your garment has it any significance at all. Only on that condition that you don't dishonor it, that you're pure, that you are true and faithful to your covenant, does the garment have any benefit." And that's from Hugh Nibley, who was an emeritus professor of ancient scripture at BYU. I mean, again, we talk about you're wearing this. It almost is damning because it's showing you that it's going to protect you as long as you're pure. But which Latter-day Saint have you ever spoken to, Bill, that knows that he's doing everything he's supposed to be doing?
You ask any Latter-day Saint, are you really keeping all of your covenants? And I find most Latter-day Saints are honest people, and they will say, well, I'm trying my best, which we've always responded by saying that's noble, but that's not what you're required to do. You must keep the covenants. Part of those covenants are that you are keeping all of the commandments. When they partake of the sacrament on Sundays, they covenant that they are going to keep the commandments. Not some of them. They covenant to keep all of them.
Now, the Latter-day Saint says that's what repentance is for.
Which, of course, is the hamster wheel starting to turn, because if they are repenting, it only means that they didn't keep the covenant. That's the point. Certainly, they should repent after they violate the covenant, but they only repent when they do violate the covenant. So they're not keeping the covenant in order to repent. You don't need to repent if you're keeping your covenants. And we don't know of any Mormon who doesn't make it a basic habit of repenting for their shortcomings. The point that I find very fascinating here is they make it sound as if this garment wearing was something that was done in the early church. Carlos Assay, in his piece, goes on to say, when the church was restored to the earth in our day, the sacred priesthood ordinances associated with the holy temple were revealed anew to the prophet Joseph Smith, giving us the impression that early Christians wore a garment very similar to this. Mr. Assay makes some statements that I think are a little contradictory, because also in this same piece, he describes the garment And he says, it is written that the white garment symbolizes purity and helps assure modesty, respect for the attributes of God, and to the degree it is honored, a token of what Paul regarded as taking upon one the whole armor of God. Garments bear several simple marks of orientation toward the gospel principles of obedience, truth, life, and discipleship in Christ. Did you catch what he says there, Eric? The white garment symbolizes.
Are all garments white?
They haven't always been white, that's for sure. That's something that's relatively new. If a Mormon today is in the military, for instance, a person who is in the military and is a member of the LDS Church can order a garment top that is desert tan in color. So really now, if you can order a garment that's in desert tan in color, if the white garment symbolizes purity, what does a desert tan garment symbolize?
Well, not only that, but then the person who is in the military has to buy that particular shirt, colored shirt, and has to send it in to Deseret or whoever they send it to the church. And for $1.50, they'll have marks be made that will be silk screened on the inside of the colored t-shirts. Now, I'm getting that right out of the store.lds.org. They'll actually have the insignias inside and not on the outside, and it's a different color.
In his piece, he goes on to say, I fear that too many church members take for granted the promise of protection and blessings associated with the temple garment. Some wear it improperly and others remove it to suit whims of circumstance. In such cases, the instructions of modern prophets, seers, and revelators are ignored and spiritual protection placed in jeopardy.
There's that protection again we were talking about.
And we might mention that the garment that you see in the video is not the garment that was used back in the 1840s when Joseph Smith was alive. That garment was actually a one-piece garment that went down to the wrist and down to the ankles. Mormons today don't wear anything like that. In fact, Mormons were warned by Joseph F. Smith, who was the sixth president of the church, that they dare not mutilate the garments or cut the garments, make them shorter than they are, in order to fit the fads of the day. But yet, when we look at the garment that Mormons are wearing now, it certainly is not like the garment that they wore then. Now, you might ask yourself, does God care about fashion? That he would give this design to Joseph Smith, only to have it changed later on by modern prophets? I mean, this raises all sorts of questions. The bottom line is we don't see anywhere in the New Testament where a garment similar to what Mormons wear today has any bearing whatsoever in the life of the Christian.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Would you like to learn more about the Mormon religion while learning how to share your Christian faith? Well, on Saturday, November 8th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson will be delivering their Compassionate Boldness Symposium, Part 1, in Brigham City, Utah. This free PowerPoint presentation includes information on the Book of Mormon, the nature of the Godhead, and how the LDS version of salvation compares with the Bible. Again, it all takes place on November 8th at Main Street Church, located at 48 North Main Street in Brigham City. Everyone who comes gets a complimentary copy of the notes, and refreshments will be served. If you'd like more information, please go to mrm.org and click on the link that says Calendar at the upper left side of the homepage. No doubt, you won't want to miss this excellent opportunity to better understand the Mormon religion. We truly hope you'll make plans to join us.